From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andy Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. We're following up this week on our Writing a Debugger Extension series. Mm-hmm. Third in the series now.
Yep.
And we mentioned, we left off last week talking about doing a hello world in our debug extension, and we used sort of the new recommended method, and you wanted to talk about a little different way of doing it.
A bit of legacy, yeah. So there is an old way of doing it, which is much more similar to printf, which is what C programmers would be used to, or sprintf. It's called dprintf, debugger printf. The API was the original API for the debugger. It's called the WNGXT API. Mm-hmm. It's a deprecated, I think that's the right word for it. It's not retired, but it's a de-emphasized API.
You can still use it, but it's not the recommended one.
Yeah, I don't think there's any intention to not ship it, but there's no investment in it. Mm-hmm. And particularly, it does have quibbles when it comes to 64-bit support. It's not very good at DML. There's lots of other things that it falls short on. But its annotation is much shorter. And truth be told, I actually do have it enabled in PDE, purely because sometimes I want to use the one-line version of stuff rather than the five-line version.
And easier to use.
Yeah, particularly it's in the help. The only place I use it is in the help. I have, you know, 1,000 lines of help, and I don't want to have that bulky code base when it comes to that. So, yeah, so let's have a look at it, what it takes to enable it, and what some of the gotchas are.
Okay.
So when it originally came out, it was 32-bit, right? So obviously this is old APIs from the 90s, and 64-bit wasn't here yet. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it is 32-bit centric. And so as such, you actually have to force it into the new millennium. By actually defining this KDEXT 64-bit. If you don't do that, you will pick up the 32-bit hash defines and everything else, and you just won't get it to compile. And so before including WDBGEng.ext.h, if you want it to work, you have to have that hash define. You could get away with it if you're doing 32-bit only debugger extensions, but you shouldn't be, so don't. So we'll actually look at this guy a bit, because a lot of the magic behind this stuff actually is some convoluted hash defines, which it's kind of good to understand what they are. So what we're going to do is make another version of Hello World. We're going to call it Hello World Old. Mm-hmm. And then I've quickly written the code. So here's our old one from last week, which was just a simple idebug control output command in the normal styling, normal coloring. Mm-hmm. And here's our Hello World. And here's the equivalent in the new world. We don't use the debug client, and we don't use the args. They're not passed through. That has issues, and particularly if you have, sometimes what you do is you actually make another client in a completely separate view on the debugger session, and you execute commands in it, and you read the text off the screen, right? And you do this privately, so the window that the user sees doesn't see it. Right, and it's called the output callback system. If you use dprintf, well, it spews it everywhere. It's every console, not just your private one. So there's lots of limitations, which is why we don't want to use it, right? Mm-hmm. But for absolute basic, hey, I know I'm on the console window here, and this is only to be used on the console window, you can use it. So that's why I use it for help and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So very simple command line, dprintf, same syntax as printf, all the same modifiers, particularly instead of using percentage x for hexadecimal things, use percentage p. Percentage p is pointer, and it is aware of the pointer size of the system that, this is for dprintf, and for output as well, the same as this. It knows what the current pointer size is, and so even though you may give it a 64-bit number, it will draw it as a 32-bit pointer or a 64-bit pointer based on the pointer size of the target.
Mm.
Right. So percentage P is your friend when it comes to pointers. You shouldn't have to use I64X and X. So I64X is the 64-bit version of X. So hexadecimal output. And P is also in hexadecimal.
I remember seeing older debugger extensions that would do this wrong. You'd run them on 64-bit, and sometimes you'd get what you know is a 64-bit pointer, but you'd only get 32 bits.
Truncated, yeah. And that's exactly what it was. They were using percentage X instead of percentage P. Mm. Yep. So where's this dprintf come from? So it's to find in that header file, the wgeng. So that's this is where it comes from. Now, that's not enough. So if we compile this now, you'll find that you'll get unresolved symbols. I don't know what extension APIs is. So let's have a look into why that's the case. Actually, I should be able to open this up. So let's have a look for dprintf. And there it is. So this is your 10-ish commands that exist in the OIL API. So there's not actually that much really given to you, right? Mm-hmm. The three that are used happen to be the top three. Dprintf is regularly used for people doing help. Get expression is a way of converting, like if you, someone on the command line passes at EIP plus 10, so at instruction pointer plus 10, turn it into a number. Mm-hmm. Once again, that's one that I'm guilty of using sometimes, but there is a alternative which we'll go through in the next episode. And check control C. So if you're doing a long, lengthy operation and you want to be nice and, you know, if they press control C to stop you, you know, each time you go around the for loop, it should be if check control C and your loop condition. And every time you go around, you should check it. You should check it often. Don't be lazy about checking that someone's done it. It's worth the CPU overhead to give that user experience. Mm-hmm. And slowly over the years, more and more parts of the debugger have had control C support added to it for all those lengthy loops. So these are really the three that we want. And actually you'll see they're actually hash defined into this extension API's global variable. And then there is this structure supports all these function pointers to functions. Mm-hmm. So here's the structure that it is. And so you can see there is a generic one, a 32-bit one, and a 64-bit one. Mm-hmm. Now, they're actually different prototypes, right? Some if you use the 32-bit ones, it's only capable of returning 32-bit pointers, even if you're in a 64-bit target. Mm. The 64-bit one is capable of returning 32-bit and 64. So that's what that the hash define that I was talking about does. This one forces the way everything compiles to use the 64-bit variant, right? And so what you do in your code is you need to resolve that global variable, and that's your responsibility, and set up the function pointer mappings, right? And so this is why I have this function, or inside the initialize, this is where you need to do it. So what you need to do is this code. First thing you need to do is define the 64-bit version of this. Mm-hmm. But if you look at all the online documentation, you'll find it regularly not having the 64 on the end. All right, so that's really important. And then it must be called extension APIs because that hash define is looking for that name. Mm-hmm. Sure, you could just use the function directly if you want to do it the hard way, but the whole point is to make it easy. So it must be called extension APIs. All right, so what this code does is it bridges the gap between the new engine, which is actually what truly is underneath, and this fake surrogate that we support on. So this fake API we support on, or the legacy API on the new one. Mm-hmm. And so what you can do is there's only two exports in the dbgeng.lib, the library that we're using. Everything else is, there's only two functions you can call. Everything else is a callback to you. Debug create and debug connect. Debug create says, what interface do you want traditionally? In this case, I want an iDebug client. You could actually ask for iDebug control directly, but technically, people suggest you go this way. You ask for iDebug client, because it's guaranteed to be there. That's the fundamental, and every other interface is optional. In reality, they're all implemented, but they don't have to be technically, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like a query interface. You get a pointer out. What this does is it makes a client associated with your debug session. Now, in initialize, it doesn't mean we even have a dump file open, right? The session is WinDBG. Mm-hmm. Right. The fact that there's a file open is irrelevant, right? That's a context. It's got nothing to do with the ability for you to be a debugger in that ecosystem. And when you do a debug create, it actually creates a client within that session. So if you do this over and over again, You're still going to end up with the same pointer every single time. Gives you a pointer to iDebug client. We can query interface for iDebug control. This happens to be the same interface that we use for output. And then you have to initialize the size member of the extension APIs and then pass it through to this get WinDBG extension API 64. And what that's going to do is just set all of those function pointers on that global so that you know when you're trying to run these functions, you're not going to have a null there. You're going to have actual function pointer. It's not going to blow up. Mm-hmm. And so after doing that, you can release the control and the client objects and throw them away. So it's all about just filling in that global. You don't need to keep these around. I have seen people keep this iDebug client around in a global. That's a bad idea, and we'll get to that in a different episode. But don't save save stuff in globals. There's no teardown involved here, so in the uninitialized, there's nothing to do. Just leave the globals as they are. And so once we have that, and we try compiling now, we now have. Did I? Unresolve external debug create. Oh, so now that we're using debug create. Which is from the debugger API, we're actually calling someone's function, and this is where the lib files come in. So as a callback mechanism, we don't need any code linked with us, but because we're calling someone's function, we do need it. And so if we look at our project, so one's from last week, or a few weeks ago, and two's from this week, what we did is we put the lib files for each one under here. And just for simplicity, when we compile, we did this in episode one, you end up with, I haven't compiled yet, but Win32 and x86. Actually, I'll do a quick compile. It's not gonna, you're going to get Win32 and x86. I'm going to rename this to, oh, Win32, yeah, 64 and 32-bit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, so we have the libraries that we need. Right, to resolve this debug create linker issue, what we need to do is add the library file. What we're going to do is bring up the properties of everything, choose all platforms, all configurations. Then under the additional libraries, we're going to add in .lib, which is a subfolder we've got. Platform is the keyword.
You need to be in open paren there.
I don't think for include directory that I think.
I mean, for your dollar platform.
Yeah, honestly, I think meant quote. Yeah, I think quotes aren't required here. And then what we're going to do is for everybody, we're going to also add, we'll put on the front, dbgeng.lib. Is it semicolon? Yeah. And so now, if we compile, everything's happy, do a batch build, get all the platforms. And we now have linked to that thing. And that's why we moved in episode one, that's why we moved the lib file underneath ourselves, so that you know we always have it carried with us. So if we can pick this up to a machine that hasn't got the debugger installed, hasn't got the platform SDK installed, and it would compile.
You get the relative path.
And so we can now run it. And if we do tab completion, we now get
both.
To both, and unsurprisingly, it works. So. When it comes to that API, use it with restraint. As I said, I use it for help reasons because when you're spinning out 1,000 lines of help, it's much easier to go dprintf single line, keep it nice and clean, rather than having this big spew of stuff. Yeah, I could write a wrapper for it, but the wrapper exists. It's not one of those things that is fooling around with 64-bit pointers. It's not. I'm not trying to be clever with DML or anything else, so it kind of is there. It is a deprecated API. I run the risk of it blowing up my face one day.
You might have to change your code.
But it's just going to be a search replace anyway, right? I'll just do search replace dprintf
with the new one.
Something new, right? So
yeah.
But yeah, that's the legacy API. Use it with caution. Didn't talk about that in the MSDN magazine because it was kind of hard to explain verbally in words the do's and don'ts of it.
Yeah,
but you will see it in examples online a lot. Dprintf and get expression particularly. We'll show you get expression next week as well.
So be aware of the pitfalls when using the legacy API, but it's still there.
Yeah.
Great. All right, well, that's our show for this week. As always, feel free to email us at defragtools@microsoft.com, or if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes. And we'll see you next week.
Have a good week.
Bye.